love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
I'm so glad you could come, Fanny.
I don't believe that for a moment.
Of course I am. Ned and I want all our oldest friends.
But you did count on my refusal, didn't you?
At least Tony did.
I told him that you'd been invited,
but you also told him I had refused.
So he brought his new girl.
He didn't bring her, but she's here.
Claire, why don't you talk to Tony about it? I am not going to get mixed up in it.
All right. I won't spoil your wedding anniversary glow. I must say it's becoming, but surprising.
Oh, I'm just a bundle of sentiment.
Have you seen Tony?
Somewhere around.
Holly, what does she look like?
Who?
Oh, Holly, what's happened to you? Can't I even get a laugh from you? Tony's new girl, of course.
Haven't you met her yet?
Oh, you can be sure. Tony intends to keep us apart. But I have a little surprise for him. Oh, he's going to be livid when he meets my escort for the evening. Tell me one thing before you run off.
Yes, of course.
You said Tony didn't bring the new girl. How did she get here?
I invited her. She drove up with me.
Holly, you don't mean it. Well, you sound as if you're taking Tony seriously.
I think he is serious, Claire.
I'll give it 3 months. Then he'll show up somewhere near me and end up telling his troubles.
Is that what he's done before?
That's what he likes to do. Tony is really a small boy who needs a good shoulder.
I have news for you, Claire. Tony is no small boy. And someday he's going to find the girl he really wants, and I think he may already have done it.
What's her name?
Kate Wakefield. Now, Claire, dear, I put you at a table of fascinating people, and all the other details I'm sure you can manage for yourself. Oh, there are the Mortimers. You'll have to excuse me. Penelope, I'm so delighted you can make it.
Stephen Wolfe, I could guess I'd find you here in the library.
Well.
Burying yourself in a book. I need you out there at the party with me.
Well, I doubt that.
Why did you agree to come with me, Steve?
Well, you are rather persuasive. But I think now it was a mistake.
Oh, come on. What are you going to do? Hide under a bushel basket the rest of your life?
No, on the contrary. I have a project now that will, well, make it unnecessary for me to go anywhere, to see anyone again. They'll come to me when I want them. And as few as I want.
Meanwhile, I'm paying you for your advice.
Well, that's your choice.
It's worth it to me. But I would also like a little attention in return. You are escorting me this evening, Stephen.
Very well. But don't expect me to be cordial to all those cabbage heads out there. I'm still a man with a mark of prison on him, you know?
Curiosity, and therefore intriguing.
Maybe. In the unhappy sense of the word. These people out there, they paid a high price for my services once. But the world likes a winner. I should have remembered that.
So what are we, a couple of losers?
You never lost a battle in your life.
Oh, shall I tell you something? I'm about to lose my first one, Steve. To Tony.
Claire, I've already told you, he hasn't a chance.
Oh, I understand that. He can't divorce me, and I will never divorce him. I worked hard to get him, and to make him into something. And I intend to remain Mrs. Anthony Cushing. And that, my dear Stephen Wolfe, is why I asked you to come here tonight.
Well, you should have told me.
Why?
I have no intention of discussing your affairs again with Tony.
I don't expect you to.
Well, then what in heaven's name do you want me to do?
His new girl is here. I'm beginning to think he's rather serious about her. I want you to talk to her and tell her he'll never be free.
Claire, I'm a lawyer. Barred from practice, yes. But a lawyer whose practice dealt with some of the most powerful men in this country. I'm not descending to the level of the gossip column.
Not even for me, Steve.
Claire, you can buy my advice, but you can't buy my private life.
Well, I'm sure she'll be fascinating. I know women gravitate to power. You once could have had any woman you wanted.
I had any woman I wanted. And I shall have again, but not yet. They'll come with all the other luxuries of life.
But what is this comeback you talk about?
Oh, something I've been working on for years. Now it is underway. I can't tell you anything more.
I certainly hope you get what you want. You are a charming man, Steve. I don't like you bitter and cold like this.
You don't like me poor, you mean?
Steve, will you do one thing? Then you can coop yourself up in this library the rest of the night.
What is the one thing?
Tony wants to talk to me. Will you stay with me?
That's hardly necessary.
No, it is necessary. Tony doesn't like you, but he may be afraid of you. I need you with me, Steve.
Over, Kate.
I've just begun, Tony.
I told you I wanted you to meet Claire.
Well, bring her out. Can't you do the Lindy?
Listen to me. If you want to behave like a crazy kid, go ahead. But I asked you before if you'd meet Claire, and you said yes. Now, will you?
Scout's honor. I always keep my promises.
I'm sorry, Kate. I know you're hurt.
Of course I am. Ever since I knew you were married. Look, do we have to keep going over this? Holly Benson persuaded me to come. Your wife is here. I've already heard people call me Tony's new girl.
Kate.
And that wasn't bad enough. You tried to kiss me.
Tried. I thought I did a pretty good job.
Oh, yes. For that silly little girl to see.
I'm sorry it's been so hard on you.
It was. But it isn't anymore. I told Holly I'd stay for the party. For the simple reason that I can't leave. There's no way. And I said I'd help make it a good party.
Oh, you're living up to that.
You didn't even know I could dance, did you?
Not like that.
Tony, I came up here this morning, sad little Kate of Belhaven, scared of the party, scared of being hurt, scared of everything. But I've lived a lifetime since
then. Kate, I don't blame you. I've let you down.
Don't talk as if I were cotton candy and might melt in the first rain. I want out. And if I have to dance through the rest of the night and play the fool and pretend, I'm going to do it.
Okay, okay. Now that that's over, let's go in and meet Claire. She's right here in the library.
What can I lose?
Hello, Claire. You alone?
For the moment, yes. My escort will be back in a second. He's just gone for my mink wrap. I'm so careless. Remember, darling.
Kate?
Oh, you have a friend with you. How nice.
Kate, I want you to meet Claire
Cushing.
His wife,
darling, though he hates to admit it. How are you? Well, I'm delighted to meet you. Tony has absolutely impeccable taste in girls. How chic of you to wear black. Are you from around here?
Mrs. Wakefield is from Belhaven originally. She now lives in the city. I wanted you to meet her.
How novel. My dear.
Mrs. Cushing, Tony has been very kind in helping me start in business. For some reason known only to him, he wanted us to meet. And now we have.
Belhaven. I met a woman from Belhaven recently. Where was it? We will come to me.
Oh, it's a lovely old town. I hope you'll visit it someday.
I'd be charmed.
Now, if you'll excuse me.
Now, I found your mink, Claire. Kate.
Stephen Wolfe. Well, you two know each other.
We've met.
Well, but of course. Steve, this is marvelous. You're the first real friend I found at this party. Now, Tony, do you know Stephen Wolfe?
I'm a teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair. Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Van Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Van Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Van Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Van Roll-On, so economical yet so effective. Faces of Love has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by the Oseeder Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss.
I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, I am William Makepeace Thackeray, author of this meandering novel. Meandering indeed. My erstwhile friend, Mr. Charles Dickens, has so accused me. My reply? Write your novels your way, Charles. I shall write mine, mine. And so I shall, as follows. Now, all our friends at Queen's Crawley Manor are readying themselves for tonight's banquet, including, of course, Miss Matilda Crawley, aided by Giles, but impeded somewhat by Poof Poof, her spoiled King Charles Spaniel.
Oh, my little Poof, is he feeling ill?
Miss Crawley, I ain't able to dress your hair whilst you be down on the carpet with him. Gone 6:30, it has.
Gracious, why didn't you tell me? Quickly, my hair. Why do you just stand there?
I can't manage it, ma'am, with you in a heap on the carpet.
Oh, well, then help me up.
Yes, Miss Crawley. Here you go.
Dear me. I seem to have gained 5 stars. There now. Well, be about your business.
Beg pardon, I'm sure.
Enough. My nerves are not equal to this. Fetch my wig.
Very good. It's all done up proper.
Have you pressed my frock?
I have, ma'am.
Which one?
Well, you said your purple to wear with your rubies.
Well, I'm not certain. But what dress would you like your mamma to wear?
He says the purple, ma'am.
He says no such thing. Run and ask Rebecca what she is wearing. We can't both be in the same color. It would ruin my evening.
Oh, she's wearing... Oh, yes, ma'am. I'll run and ask.
Tell her by no means canary. The footman will be in canary livery. Oh, why did I insist on this tiresome party? I don't want it at all.
For Captain Rawdon.
And why am I allowing him to go to London? I don't want that either. And why couldn't he have cared for Rebecca? It would have solved everything.
Oh, I trust all that sighing means you approve.
Oh, to the life, you're the Lady Greensleeve's song. And your eyes like...
Don't say gooseberries.
Oh, no, miss. Oh, Mr. Rawdon, he'll not be able to ride off tomorrow after he sees you tonight.
He can't even talk to me tonight.
Not a single word,
Mr. At the party, no. After, yes.
You ain't afeard to see him after?
Oh, I must see him. I must chance it. But where? Sir Pitt wanders about in the night. Every room in his great house is dangerous.
No, ma'am. Not every.
Where not?
The tower. Sir Pitt don't never go there. Afeard of the ghost. It is said the ghost stays in the tower when he ain't scaring people.
Are you certain Sir Pitt is afraid?
Oh, yes. But if you ain't...
No, I'm not. Well, I'm not. Oh, what a romantic place for us. An ancient tower.
Well, I'd not just say that, Miss Becky. All dusty and musty, such so long.
Oh,
I don't rightly know it. Yes, I'll clean it. I'll air it.
But you're not afraid.
Well, I am a bit. But for you and Mr. Rawdon, I will.
Oh, Giles, how good you are to me.
Because you are to me. Now, whilst all the company is downstairs, I'll climb to the tower and tidy it ever so neat. Only...
Only?
Well, it will be cold up there.
Captain Rawdon will keep me warm. Now, whilst you dress Miss Crawley, I'll write him a note about the tower. Come back and take it to him. Ah, everything is put right. We've fooled the lot of them. All is well. All is safe. And the tower will be waiting.
All is safe, as that may be as may be. What of Becky's heart's desire to follow Rawdon to London? What of that? Shortly, dear listeners, we shall hear the Reverend and Mrs. Bute Crawley upon that subject.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Finalnet. Finalnet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Finalnet holds up longer than you do.
In the parsonage, the Reverend Bute Crawley and his lady are dressing for the festive occasion at the hall, looking forward most eagerly.
No, this night, Mrs. B, I shall break bread with every sinner in the county.
Put on your gaiters, Bute.
No, and I will this night, I'll find a subject for many a Sunday sermon.
Yes, yes.
You do not seem aware of the gravity of the occasion.
Gravity? They'll all be tipsy.
Gravity? To a clergyman of the Church of England. Oh, if I could bring myself to tell a falsehood, oh, I would send word to the manor that I am ill.
Even if you were, we must go. It would displease Matilda most terribly, did we not?
What good to please her? She'll leave us nothing.
Something, Bute. She has said so. Little enough, I'm sure. But displease her, and there will be not even that. Still, if Matilda drinks, as is her wont, how red is the face she gets, how loud and rude she becomes. If she does, I say, she can't last long. She'll drop within the year and serve her right.
Madam, do not speak such wickedness.
I only say what you think. Put on your gaiters, Reverend Crawley.
Oh, they're threadbare.
You've no others, as I've no other than this old, old, old purple dress.
You look splendid, my dear.
Oh, you cannot tell a falsehood, Mr. B. You have done so. If I had one, only one of Matilda's rubies in the necklace she's sure to wear.
Treasures of wickedness profit nothing.
I would wash up the scullery with this purple rag.
The price of wisdom is above rubies.
Mr. B, do not quote the Bible once more. Even Miss Sharp will wear better than I. A governess better clad than the wife of a clergyman of the Church of England.
Give no thought to what ye shall wear.
Oh,
sorry.
No, I am sorry. A soft answer turneth away wrath, and you have turneth. I shall try to think more kindly of this affair. At least we shall have a fine dinner. Pitt will lay it on for Matilda.
But I am not accustomed to rich food. I will end in heartburn.
Would you prefer warmed over cabbage here?
The cost. more than is put into the collection plate in a year's time. And when Pitt comes to church, when he comes, what does he put in the plate?
A shilling at best, threepence at worst.
And mark my word, Mrs. B., they'll not even ask a blessing at table. Oh, watch how they fall upon their food like wolves.
Much better watch Miss Sharp tonight. Cook says the second footman at the hall says she is buttering up Matilda.
Well, why ever would she do that? A disagreeable old woman, a young girl.
A rich disagreeable old woman.
Ah.
Nor is that all. Cook says Simon says...
Who is Simon?
Oh, one of the stable grooms.
Oh.
Cook says Simon says Miss Sharp has set her cap for Rawdon, and Matilda knows nothing of it. One path or the other leads to... Yes, Bill?
Matilda's money.
Yes, indeed. We must watch Miss Governess tonight. It may be we can do Matilda a very great favor. She will then favor us more generously in her will. Bute, I do believe, after all, I shall enjoy tonight.
May I quote only one more verse, Martha?
No! Put on your gaiter.
My apologies to Mr. Dickens for meandering. Tomorrow, dear listeners, the ceremonial dinner. You are invited along with all the baronets and their wives in the county. And I am your meandering servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Ah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Vanity Fair is dramatized by Nancy Moore and features Dolores Sutton as Becky Sharp. Charles Kimbrell portrays Rawdon Crawley. Bryna Rayburn, Giles. And your host for Author Studio is Earl Hammond as William Makepeace Thackeray. This program is produced and directed by Frank Papp and brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do. Ralph Camargo speaking. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life. Brought to you by Final Net Non-Aerosol Hair Mist, a sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Everybody, what are you doing?
Hi, dear. Come on in. Come on in. Did you get my note? I left a note in the front hall saying we were over here at Evie's.
Well, obviously, I got the note. I'm over here, aren't I?
Oh, yes.
What's going on?
Well, the painter called. Evie said he could come tomorrow, and she didn't expect him, so Aunt Maggie and I came over here to help lug things out of her kitchen and her pantry.
Oh, hi, Bob. Come on out and see the mess.
Well, I'll do better than that. I'll lend a helping hand.
Honestly, I didn't realize it was dinner time already, or are you home early tonight?
No, usual time. I didn't see the note in our front hall right away. I wondered where you were.
Yeah,
hi, Aunt Maggie.
Hello, dear.
Is it dinner time already?
That's what I just said.
Well, after all your help, I should have dinner for you, but with the kitchen in this mess, I can hardly get
it. Oh, for heaven's sake, now, cut it out.
Hey, where's Fred?
Yeah.
I'm in the pantry, piling canned things into boxes.
Well, let me give you a hand.
Now, what are we going to do about dinner, Peg? We haven't even given it a thought.
Yeah, I know. I didn't take anything out of the freezer over there either. Bob? Bob?
Yeah?
Why don't we take Fred and Evie out to dinner? Poor Evie's worn out.
I'm worn out. What about you? Oh, no. If anything, we should take you all out.
Evie, we don't have time to go out to dinner.
Well,
we still got to get everything out of the pantry. What time the painter say he's coming in the morning?
Seven. Yeah. 7 o'clock. We'll be up all night getting stuff out of all the cupboards. We haven't touched those cupboards over
here. Evie, don't worry. We're all going to help you now.
Sure. And instead of anybody doing any cooking tonight, why don't I drive Jack to the Bunny Burger place and pick up some hamburgers?
That is a wonderful idea, dear.
Well, now, they're so expensive.
Oh,
no, Aunt
Maggie. I could go back to your place and maybe stir up some waffles.
No. Let's just make it simple. Right. No cooking, no dishes.
Oh.
And if we're going to be here helping Evie and Fred, we can still work and eat our hamburgers at the same time. Right. No bother, no fuss.
It's a great idea.
Okay, now let me get a paper and pencil and I'll take the order.
It would be a lot less expensive if I stirred up some waffles.
Aunt Maggie, no. Don't worry about the expense. I'll treat you.
No, indeed. I'll pay for my own.
Nonsense.
Aunt
this
Maggie.
Is going to be my treat for everyone.
No, you're not buying our hamburgers. Fred?
Right. We'll pay for our own. Where's my wallet? Oh, it must be in my jacket.
Okay. Now, never mind that. Now, I've got money. Just give me your orders.
Well, just hamburgers for everyone, dear. Evie, you got paper and pencil?
Somewhere in this shamble.
It's a shamble.
Oh, here's a notepad.
Okay, I got a pen. Now, who wants what? Hamburgers for everyone?
Yeah, that's fine.
Good.
Fine.
How do you want them?
Rare for me.
I don't want mine rare. Medium, I guess.
Well, I want mine well done. Very well done.
Edie?
Well, I don't like them either too rare or too well done.
Then get medium.
Well, how do they fix them at this place? If you say medium, you know that sometimes means too well done.
I don't know how they fix them. I think medium is your best bet.
Evie's right. Sometimes when you say medium, you don't know how they're going to turn out. Last time I got one that was medium, it was practically raw, Evie.
Well, I like hamburger just sort of crisp on the outside and pink on the inside.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay, I'll put you both down for medium rare.
Yeah. Listen, make mine a cheeseburger, huh?
Oh, that sounds good. I think I'll change mine, honey. I'll have a cheeseburger.
No, I want mine plain with onions, raw onion on the side.
Well, I don't like raw onions. See if they have sautéed onions. In fact, I know they do. Aunt Maggie, do you want onions?
Well, if they're cooked, I do. I want some relish on mine, too.
And French fries, Bob. I want an order of French fries.
Oh, well, I think we all want French fries,
and
don't we?
And some coleslaw.
I don't think we
all need French fries. I should think two orders would be enough and we can share. But I don't want any coleslaw.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me get this straight now. Right. Five hamburgers, two rare, one well done, two medium rare.
Are you having the other rare hamburger?
Yeah.
Then make that three, because I can sure eat two hamburgers tonight.
Okay, I will too. So that's four rare, one well done, two medium rare.
I might be able to eat another. How about you, Evie?
No? I can't. Two hamburgers is too much for me.
Well, two is too much for me too. How about sharing one extra?
That's fine.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Make that three medium rare. And listen, when you tell a man medium rare, make sure he understands we mean pink but not purple when we say rare. You know,
listen,
I don't want it raw.
This place is jammed with everybody yelling orders.
Well, I mean, Evie,
you want me to take the pots and pans out of this cupboard?
Oh, would you please? They all have to come out.
Now, who wants what to drink? Coffee, tea?
Oh, I can run over home and make some coffee and bring it back here to eat.
Look, I'm getting hamburgers. Might just as well get everything. There'll be no fussing with cooking.
Yeah, you know something? I don't think I want any coffee. I think I'd like a chocolate milkshake.
Oh, that sounds good. Only I want vanilla.
All right.
One chocolate milkshake. Mm-hmm. Certainly not on your diet.
No, forget it.
And one vanilla milkshake. Now, Evie?
Coffee, regular. Fred will, too. And see if they have anything fun for dessert, like old chocolate cake or apple pie.
Hey, yeah. See if they have apple pie a la mode.
Oh, that's
well, the ice cream will melt by the time Bob gets back.
Well, see what they've got.
Yeah.
You got it all straight now, dear.
I don't know. I hope so.
That was a great idea to save us getting dinner. Now, we'll keep on working. You go get the hamburgers.
Yes, it was really a great idea. Does save us getting dinner.
I'm not so sure it was a great idea, but I'll go get them. Now, let's see here. Four rare, one well done, three medium rare.
¶¶
But you were gone so long.
Well, I told you that Bunny Burger place is always jammed.
No, this one's a cheeseburger. Oh. This is not mine.
It must be mine. I had two rare cheeseburgers.
These must be ours, Pam. Medium rare. Oh, they certainly are rare.
Now, look, I did the best I could. I couldn't climb behind the counter and show the guy how to cook them.
Where's my chocolate milkshake?
Didn't you get any French fries?
Yeah, I got two orders of French fries.
Well, I think we should settle up.
And Maggie, please, don't worry about that. Let's eat things while they're hot.
Well, yep. Nothing is very hot, and I have a raw onion on mine.
Thought you were going to get sautéed onions for Aunt Maggie's
hamburger. I got sautéed onions on three of the hamburgers.
Here, I got sautéed onions on mine, and I want a raw onion.
No. There's some raw onions in that little packet right there.
You're getting a ketchup.
Ketchup, but didn't they put any in?
No, there's no ketchup. Doesn't matter. We must have some ketchup around here someplace. Oh, yes, I have some in the refrigerator. That's one thing that doesn't have to be cleaned out.
ordered sautéed onions.
Yeah, well, Aunt Maggie, Evie got sautéed onions on hers. Why don't you just exchange hamburgers? Wouldn't that be the
same? I want one that is well done.
Well, Evie, could you scrape the sautéed onions off yours for Aunt Maggie since you want
I'd rather have raw onions anyway.
Yeah. Now, where's the bill?
Aunt Maggie, please, forget
no,
the bill.
No, I insist on paying for my own. Oh, here it is. These hamburgers cost $1.25 each.
And Maggie, this is on me.
Oh, no, it isn't. I'm going to pay for my own, but $1.25 would have been cheaper if I'd made waffles.
Well, we've saved time, Aunt Maggie, with Bob bringing this all in. Mm-hmm. Time we can help Evie and Fred get their kitchen ready for the painters.
I can't find the ketchup. Must be in the pantry.
No, I cleaned out the pantry. Look in the mess in the dining room.
All right. I think we should settle up the bill. Where's my pocketbook?
Why don't we eat while the hamburgers are hot?
Well, they're not very hot anyhow. How much do I owe?
Aunt Maggie, will you forget it, please?
Fred, Evie, you owe $1.25 for the hamburgers. That is $1.25 each. And you had two, Fred, and Evie had one.
Oh, sure. I've just got a 20. You got change?
Well, no, but it doesn't matter.
Oh, yes, it does. We are paying for our own. Now, Fred, you go upstairs.
Okay.
Look in the top drawer of the bureau, and I'll check my purse. I think I have some change.
You know, Fred always does that. He always has a 20.
What did you say, dear?
I said Fred always does this. He always just has a 20, and then he says, you get this, and I'll get you later.
Never
always,
mind.
Always.
You hear you.
Well, he always does this. I wish he would for a change. We always get stuck with a bill, even when we go
out. No coffee. They didn't put in any coffee.
Did you pay for coffee? Well, never mind. I'll go home and make some.
No. I paid for it, and I'm going back and tell them...
Everything will be cold.
Well, everything is cold anyhow, dear, and terrible coleslaw.
No. I am going back.
Oh, Bob.
It's a matter of principle. I paid for coffee, I am going to get coffee.
Well, you know, you're going to get hamburgers wasn't such a great idea if we're going to spend all this time fussing about
never
things.
Never mind. I'm going back.
Oh, really? I don't know. My hamburger's raw, the coleslaw's terrible, no coffee, french fries are cold.
Well, I could have made waffles.
Why is it? Thomas Alva Edison has a great idea and he invents the electric light. We have a great idea, it's a mess.
I could have made waffles.
Yeah, I know that.
I couldn't find any change. I've just got a 20, but you get this and I'll get you later.
Yeah, sure, Fred, sure.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Bah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by 4-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
Handed the latest bulletin on the train explosion at
Brick. Angela, I've got the news on. Come on and listen. Onward.
Now it is estimated at least 200 victims will need hospital care.
Oh, dear.
Emergency units are still being rushed to the area. All persons not having legitimate reasons to travel to the area are ordered to stay away. Stay tuned for latest developments.
Oh, anything new?
No. Just more depressing casualty figures.
Oh, dear.
Coffee's ready. No word from Jason?
No.
He said it probably would be hard to get through, but he'd call as soon as he could.
How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm all right, physically. Angela, there's no danger for Jason, is there?
Oh, none, honey. I mean, he'll work too hard, but apart from having to do without sleep, he'll be okay.
Oh, he didn't even have time to pack a bag.
I know. Marsh gave him an extra shirt he had in his office, and Joe Gonzalez got some shaving things and toilet articles together for him.
When something like this happens, you realize how lucky you are just to be safe. And waking up in your own bed is an absolute luxury.
You know, it's funny. Jason really didn't want to go, but you could tell he was excited by it.
That's the way he sounded on the phone.
He asked me if I minded his going.
I know.
I said I'd stay with you and the children, and, well, Brixton is only 100 miles away.
Well, how did he get the call? He said something about a Dr. Anthony. He knew him from somewhere?
Mm-hmm. Korea. They served together in the medical corps.
Well, how did he find Jason now, after all this time?
I don't know. We'll get all that later, I guess. Oh, how are Susie and Jennifer taking it?
Oh, they're all right. But I'll feel better when Jason can call. Emily, nothing new on your checkup yesterday?
No.
I asked Marsh to tell me if there was. And I have to believe him.
Oh, I'm sure he would have told you, Em.
Well, I don't know. I imagine he didn't have time to talk to Jason with the Brixton explosion happening. Angela, could you see... Could you find out if there was anything he might have said to Jason?
I'll try. But if he knows something he wouldn't tell you, he... Listen, Emily. You know Jason wouldn't have gone to Brixton if Marsh had anything new or negative to tell him.
Yes, Ginger?
You will be home early, then.
Well, I don't know, darling. With Jason gone, a lot of the staff gone, too, our schedule is just shot to hell.
The Saxtons are coming over for dinner and bridge.
Oh, please call it off, Ginger. Yes, come on in.
Who's that?
Dr. Gonzalez.
Shall I come back later?
No, doctor. I'll only be a minute.
Why should I cancel the Saxtons? He's on the hospital board.
Well, then he'll surely understand that we have an emergency here at Jefferson.
But that's at Brixton.
Honey, we're supplying them with all kinds of support, and that puts a strain on us.
All right, then. Did Angela Fairchild go to Brixton?
No.
I see.
I'll see you later, Ginger.
I'll still be expecting you for dinner.
Fine. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, anything from Brixton, Doctor?
No, it's a problem getting the stuff in. The main highway is jammed.
Yes, I can imagine. Oh, I wish I could have gone.
Somebody's going to buy the store. And I get the impression that the doctor at Brixton knows Dr. Carter.
Oh, yes. Jason filled me in while I was driving him to the airport. They served together in Korea.
That's some time ago.
Well, they operated a field hospital unit, and from what Jason said, the situation at Brixton comes close to field hospital conditions.
Mm. Isn't the Army providing units, including personnel?
Oh, yes, but He knew that Jason knows the Army way and could count on him to do the coordinating job as well as work in the field OR.
Yeah, well, we'll be getting some people here as soon as the medevac gets into operation.
Yes. Is there anything else?
Just one thing, if I may.
Oh, of course, go ahead.
Maybe you'd rather be at Brixton in the thick of it, but you're important here.
Thank you, Doctor.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
You're sure that Mrs. Carter isn't going to be taken by surprise?
She asked me to bring you home for dinner.
Has she heard from Dr. Carter yet?
She hadn't when I talked to her this afternoon.
They seem very happy with each other.
You noticed that?
I suppose I would. It reminds me a little of my father and mother.
Where are they?
Back in Mexico. They were here for a while. They wanted me to be a doctor, so we came to the States.
Are you going to stay here or go back to Mexico?
I don't know. Already I feel the pull of your country.
You know, it must have been difficult studying medicine in a new language.
Americans are always impressed with bilingualism.
Don't put it down, Joe.
Well, there are much harder things for a Latin man to get used to in this country.
Oh? Like what?
The independence of women.
Oh.
You would never guess what it's been like for me. Well, take this moment, for instance.
Oh, why? What is it?
Well, you're driving the car, and I'm sitting here, a passenger. Not at the wheel, understand? Hmm? Not in command and running things. It's hard to get used to.
Betsy isn't home yet.
Oh? You know where she is?
Probably at the drugstore.
Oh. Shall I fix you a drink?
Don't you care?
Well, of course I care, Ginger. I'm just trying to decipher your message.
What do you mean?
Well, you said Betsy isn't home yet. Now, does that mean I should go look for her? Or is it a veiled hint that I'm a lousy father because I don't know where she is?
I just said she wasn't home.
Oh, Ginger, you never just say anything.
Oh, you're in a foul mood. It's just as well I called off the Sexton.
Oh, you bet. That was the one bright spot in my day. I knew I was coming home to an evening without Martha Sexton and her never-ending chatter about her children.
Well, what's wrong with that? Mothers are naturally proud of their family.
What is it about motherhood?
What do you mean?
Well, why don't women take it for granted? Why is it the center of their lives?
Because having children is important. The family is the center of a woman's life.
Well, that's a lot of weight for kids to carry.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, I just wonder what we'd be like if we didn't have Betsy.
Marsh, what a thing to say.
Well, since we made a deliberate choice...
We were never going to discuss that, Marsh. Never.
Yes, I know. I know, Ginger. But lots of marriages make it without having a child to hold them together.
Is that what you think Betsy is?
No, and you know I don't. I love her, and I feel more responsible for
her. You don't show it very much.
What have I done now? Or not done?
I don't know. Rather, I do know why you're acting the way you are.
You wanted to go running off to Brixton and be a hero. Anything to get away from home.
Helping out in a disaster is an ego trip, is that what you think?
And that's just where you'd be now, except for one thing.
Oh, this deserves another drink.
If Angela Fairchild had gone, you'd have found some excuse to go to.
Well, Marsh, old buddy, for that you deserve a double.
And getting sloshed is no answer.
There is no answer, Ginger. You can take any situation and somehow twist it into an accusation against me. Betsy isn't home. My fault. I find Martha Sexton a bore. I hate children. I would have gone to Brixton to help, but I'm needed at Jefferson because it's really because Angela F. Fairchild is here. Oh, Ginger, can't you see what you're doing to us?
I see more than you think I do.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Mystery meat again. The food hasn't changed since the last time I was in college, but I have. 12 years later, 12 gray hairs. The only gray hairs in the entire class. So, I tried Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, just covers up gray without changing your natural color. Loving Care made my hair softer and shinier. And two boys wanted my number.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.